Hello, everyone, and welcome to this evening's webinar titled Submitting Successful AAHKS Annual Meeting Abstract. If you would like to ask a question during the web presentation, please select the chat pod located in the lower left corner of your screen, then type and send your question. I would like to introduce your moderator for today, Dr. Joseph Moskal.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us. As was mentioned, tonight is the first of what will be a series of webinars each throughout the year. Tonight's webinar is entitled Submitting Successful AAHKS Annual Meeting Abstracts, and the webinar is intended to familiarize all the AAHKS members with the AAHKS Annual Meeting Abstract submission process and highlight the key elements that lead to a successful abstract submission. There will be 30 minutes of presentations, followed by 30 minutes allotted to answer all your questions. We are extremely fortunate to have world-renowned faculty that include tonight's presenters, Brian Springer, who is the AAHKS Chair of Education and Communications Council, as well as intending orthopedic surgeon with Ortho Carolina Hip and Knee and Associate Professor of Orthopedic Surgery at the Carolina Medical Centers. And he is joined by Dr. Matthew Abdel, who is the AAHKS Program Chair for the 2018 meeting. And he is also Associate Professor in the Department of Orthopedic Surgery at Mayo Clinic. I'm trying to, can someone see if I could advance the slides? I apologize. The annual meeting date and location for the next year will be, or this year will be, at the Anatole Hotel in Dallas, Texas. The annual meeting attracts over 3,000 participants, including surgeons, clinicians, industry representatives, healthcare administrators, and surgeons representing the majority of attendees. Last year, we had a record attendance of 3,050 attendants, over 8% more than the year previous. This year, our president is Dr. Craig Delavalle from Chicago. And as I mentioned previously, Dr. Brian Springer is the chair of our AAHKS Education and Communication Council. The AAHKS Program Committee this year consists of Dr. Abdel, who is chair, Robert Moley, Dr. Brian Springer, Dr. Greg Polkowski, Dr. Jonathan Schaefer, Dr. William McCauley, Dr. James Brown, and Dr. Michael Meningini. And with that, I'd like to introduce our first presenter, Dr. Brian Springer.
Thank you, Joe, and good evening, everybody. I appreciate your time tonight. This is the first time that we're doing this webinar, and you know, I think that a big reason for this to try and submit the most the best abstract that has the most likely success of making it to a podium or a poster. I think one of the important things is just understanding the process. And if people have a better sense of what the process is, while it may not necessarily help you with the scientific portion of your abstract, I think it'll give you a better idea of the scrutiny that the abstracts go through, an idea of what the reviewers and the program committee are looking for as well. In addition to that, it's always our goal to try and be as transparent as possible with the process. There's nothing that is secretive about what's done with the process. It has been refined and fine-tuned over time to what we think is an extremely rigorous process. It's a completely blinded process. This is not just a small program committee sitting in a room deciding what should be on and what shouldn't be on based on an institution or a presenter or something that they may like or may not like. It actually involves well over 100 people that make blinded peer review decisions on what makes it into the annual meeting. And so a big focus of this is making sure everybody knows this is a completely transparent process. And you know, we also look for feedback as well, because the program committee, the day that the annual meeting ends, the program committee sits down and gets ready to prepare for the next meeting. And we have monthly conference calls on how to make things better. And we welcome attendees' feedback. And we take the surveys that are filled out at the meeting extremely seriously on how to improve the meeting every year. So we really do value our members' feedback. So I have just a few slides to run through that talk just a little bit about some of the past couple years, talk just a little bit about the process. Dr. Abdel is going to expand on the process, give a couple examples of some successful abstracts, and then we'll open it up for questions. And also just mention that the webinar, this webinar is recorded, so there'll be access of everybody will have access to it as well, so you can come back and refer to it. I just listed here the last two annual meetings on the slide that's in front of you, 2016 and 2017, just so you can get an idea of the sheer number of abstracts that are submitted to this meeting. In 2016, there were 1,380 abstracts submitted, and we topped that last year. That was the most abstracts we've ever had submitted to the meeting. The symposium continued to gain in popularity, and we're going to touch just a little bit, Dr. Abdel, is on what is a symposium and what makes a successful symposium. And as a program committee, we feel what makes a successful meeting is getting as many members involved as possible. So we encourage people to not only submit their abstracts, submit their symposia. Again, those are all graded blindly, and we'll touch bases on that process. Submit your symposia. Submit technical videos, which is something that's been new in the last couple years. So if you have something that's unique or you think would be worthwhile for the membership, please share that with us as well. But what you'll notice here is that if you take last year, for example, 1,387 abstracts that were submitted, there were 59 podium presentations. So that equates to about a 4.2% acceptance rate. And we don't put that up there to intimidate people or say I don't have a chance, but just so they understand the sheer number of abstracts that are submitted, and this number for only 59 podiums really puts the onus on the program committee and the reviewers to absolutely make sure we're selecting what we think are the best scientific papers. We've been fortunate enough, because we're at a bigger venue, to now accept up to 200 posters. For those of you that have spent time looking at the posters, obviously you'll know that, you know, the quality of the posters is amazing, and at any other meeting those would absolutely be podium presentations. And we now also look to our international members submitting posters as well, and then generally have about 8 symposium, depending on how the program is structured every year. And there's a little bit of flex in the program every year, but not much, because we're trying to keep as much scientific presentations on the podium as absolutely possible. But again, about a 4.2% acceptance rate for podiums. The abstracts, when you submit your abstract, you have to select a category. And there's really 10 categories to which the abstracts are assigned to. For the most part, you don't really have to worry about the guest society. Those are invited. So think about these other 9 categories. And it is something that we ask people to put a little bit of thought into, to really, because sometimes there are some in-between abstracts between, you know, whether it's primary knee or health policy or revision hip or infection or complications. And the program committee, myself and Matt, are always open to emails or questions if people have, you know, questions about how to best direct their abstract and what category to submit it in. So really think about where it best fits, because you know, that these categories do influence how we balance out the program. And essentially what we try and do is create a balanced program. Obviously, if the best 60 papers are all primary knee, we don't want a meeting that's just on primary knee, because there's a lot of other interests that are out there that we really need to cover to keep the program and keep everybody well informed. So the program really is determined by the percentage of abstracts that are submitted in each category. So for example, if 35% of all abstracts submitted are in the primary total knee category, when we arrange the program schedule, the agenda, then roughly about 35% will make up the final program. And if 15% are revision knee, then about 15% of the podium presentations will be revision knee. And this allows us to cover basically all of those categories to keep it somewhat balanced, but also to make sure that, you know, the major categories are also well represented throughout the program. This is really important. It's rapidly approaching, and this is an extremely firm deadline. It's June 1st at 11:59:59 is the absolute last time that an abstract can be submitted, and there's no exceptions. Obviously, the program committee begins basically at midnight, starting to divvy these up and get them out to the reviewers. And unless there's something on our end or the computer system end that you know we can confirm or we're aware of, we're not going to accept abstracts beyond this deadline. This is the website, and we'll put this up at the end again, just so everybody knows how to access the AAKIS website to be able to submit their abstracts. And I have just a couple screenshots here. This is the site on AAKIS.org, and you can see here that there is there's a link that you can click on here to log in with your AAKIS username and password. If you don't have that, that can be provided to you here by emailing this, and we can get that information to you. And then that will subsequently take you to the submission site here. And so obviously with this nice big begin button here, you can start that stepwise process of beginning to submit your abstracts. One of the things that is really important that can affect things is making sure that your disclosures on the AOS website are up to date, because that has that's extremely important for the meeting and for everybody to make sure their disclosures are up to date. This is where you'll have to provide your username and password so that you can log in and sign into the system to begin the process. And then again here, it'll give you a little bit of a tally here. You'll be able to kind of go through this process, click on it, and it's a really well thought out, fine-tuned process that'll take you step by step, asking you the categories and to submit and make sure that you're fulfilling all the requirements. So I'm going to turn things over to Dr. Abdel. He's going to run you through a little bit about the review process and talk a little bit about what makes a good abstract. He's been talking so much about this recently, he's lost his voice a little bit. So, Matt, I'll turn it over to you to take over.
Yeah, thanks, Brian. As Dr. Springer noted, I lost my voice, so bear with me. This year, we're excited for the annual meeting. What we wanted to do was kind of go over the review process. And as Dr. Springer highlighted, we want to be transparent. This is a very blinded process. It's peer-reviewed, and it's very critical. And we want to go over some of those aspects. So for the podiums and posters, it's important that people submitting know that each submission is reviewed by 5 different abstract reviewers. And all those abstract reviewers are fellow members of AAKIS. They've been vetted. They've contributed to the society in the past. And that allows us to have multiple reviewers in a blinded fashion reviewing all abstracts. There's also an opt-out. If a reviewer has a conflict, they can opt out so we can have it in the least conflict as possible. From a symposia and video standpoint, as Dr. Springer noted, that's become quite popular in both avenues. Each symposia is reviewed by the entire program committee, and each video proposal is reviewed by the entire program committee. And the goals of these really are to have a diverse, clinically relevant symposia and video presentations for the entire audience. And that's reviewed by the entire committee in a blinded fashion as well. Now, what about the scoring? There's often many questions how these are scored, and we thought it would be helpful just to actually present that right here. You can see that each abstract is graded on five different categories for a total of 25 points. Those five categories are noted here, and I think they're all important, so we'll spend a second going over them. Number one, what's the topic's importance and originality? Is it a topic that's timely? Is it clinically relevant? Does it affect practice? That can be graded 1 to 5, 5 being max number of points. The second one, which is important, is the introduction. What's the purpose of the paper? Is the hypothesis clear? Are the aims clear? Is it clinically relevant? That will get up to 5 points. Equally important, as you can see here, is the methods. What's the study design? Is it retrospective or prospective? Clinical trial or not? Is there a power analysis? If so, is it included? What are the demographics? And what is the follow-up? Results, you can see a lot of people focus on results. While important, that's an equal 5 points. We want to make sure that the results are clear and they've got appropriate statistical analysis. And finally, there's the conclusions. I think this is oftentimes where abstract might fail, where there are conclusions that are drawn that aren't actually from the results. So you can see each one of these five categories are essential. Each one gets 5 points. That's a max of 25 points. And don't forget, it's reviewed by 5 different reviewers for a potential of 125 points. So it's a very rigorous process in reviewing each and every one of these abstracts. I wanted to present a couple of examples that might be, in the future I could present examples that were in different categories. But for today's sake, because we wanted to open up for questions, I have one simple example of a podium presentation that was previously accepted. This is a paper that's a randomized clinical trial on peripheral nerve blocks versus periarticular injections with bupivacaine versus periarticular injections with liposomal bupivacaine. This was previously presented as a podium presentation at AAKIS 2 years ago. Two reasons. It's a good example of why it may be accepted by the blinded process. Number one, at the time, it was a very timely topic. Number two, it was a randomized clinical trial that was executed with greater than 80% follow-up. Number three, there was a clear introduction and hypothesis. The power analysis and statistics were included. Results included data, p-values, and a conclusion supported results. And as Dr. Springer noted, we'll have this available for your review later, so you can go through these particular abstracts and see the strengths and weaknesses and some of the things that the abstract reviewers look at throughout the entire process to accept a particular abstract for either a podium presentation or a poster. What about posters? Just because I didn't want to use someone else's, I used an example of mine, one of mine from last year's. This is an example of extended trochanteric osteotomies. This is a series we presented on 612. Again, we went through the background, the purpose, the statistical analysis, radiographic examples, illustrations, and there are a whole host of different posters, poster categories, but this is one of numerous over 200 examples, as Dr. Springer pointed out, that are accepted, particularly with a larger venue. A quick word on symposia. Symposia are a little different than academy. Symposia are due June 1st, along with all other abstracts for both podium presentations and posters. All should be comfortably fitting within a 60-minute time window. That allows for one moderator, 3 faculty members, and that allows for 40 minutes of faculty presentations and 20 minutes for discussions. The goals really of this symposium are they should be non-biased without a conflict of interest, and they should be really clinically relevant. Topics that surgeons will want to go back to their practice on Monday and utilize in their particular practice. The final program, as you saw earlier, after going through that process, results in about 59 podium presentations, 3 received named awards, there are 8 symposia, and that results in 200 posters, and we give an additional 10 from international societies. This year, that's the Italian Society and the British Hip Society. With that, I'll send it back to our moderator, Dr. Mosco.
Thank you very much. To ask a question via the web presentation, please select the chat pod located in the lower left corner of your screen. Type or send your question. Once again, to ask a question via the web presentation, select the chat pod located in the lower left corner of your screen, then type and send your question that way. Dr. Mosco, can you hear me okay? Okay, well, we'll go forward with our question, and I'll pose the question to our speakers. Our first question says, currently working on a project that I was planning on submitting for either a JOA or an AHKS. If selected as a poster, would this bar future JOA publication?
I'll take that one. It's actually a really good question. So, you know, what we ask for people that are presenting is that they're, number one, presenting original work, and number two, that they're presenting work that has not been previously published or is in process of being published, that has the chance of being published before the annual meeting. What we don't want is obviously papers that are already in press or in journals and then are presented at the annual meeting, because the meeting's supposed to be new material. Having said that, for the posters that are, I'm sorry, for the podium presentations that are, I'm sorry, for the abstracts that are submitted for podium presentations, there will be several of those that are selected to be in the proceedings of the annual meeting, and then obviously the award papers. And the requirement is that the award papers are published in Journal of Arthroplasty, as well as the ones that are selected for the symposium. However, for posters, there is not a requirement, just because it is presented at the annual meeting, that it has to be submitted for publication in Journal of Arthroplasty. Obviously, with Journal of Arthroplasty being our official publication, we would like it to be submitted to the Journal of Arthroplasty, because we think it's very high quality work if you were part of the annual meeting, but it is not a requirement.
Thank you very much. Our next question reads, does the AAHKS assign CME credit for abstract review?
It's actually a really good thought, but we do not currently provide CME for abstract review.
Thank you very much. Our next question reads, I've submitted my abstract. Can I change it again?
So I can take that, Brian. Yeah, so you can change it up until June 5th. If you're having problems getting into it, which you shouldn't, you can email us at the online email that you see there. But you should be able to change it up until the deadline.
Thank you very much. It looks like we have no further questions, but I do want to give our speakers an opportunity if there's other questions that they would like to ask of each other on the panel before we move to conclusion. So if you have any other questions or talking points at this time that you'd like to go over again.
Sure. So just, you know, some common things that that tend to come up, you know, a little bit year after year. As we mentioned before, the deadline is firm. The word count is firm. One of the things that we always get is, can we include figures or references for the abstract? And those are not needed. There is a space constraint, and you don't need to put references or figures in there simply because of the space constraint, and also the added time for the reviewers as well. As I mentioned before during my talk, video submissions is something that's we've been doing the past 2 years. And, you know, we also encourage people, if you have technical videos that you know, try and submit them, because that's a growing area, and we've heard really good feedback from the attendees in the past that they get a lot out of seeing participants' technical surgical videos.
Thank you very much. It looks like we had one follow-up question that just came in, and I'd like to include that if I can. Is there a minimum follow-up that you look for clinical studies?
Matt, do you want to address that?
Yeah, so most arthroplasty studies have a minimum follow-up of 2 years. That's a minimum potential follow-up. Now, that being said, there are health policy studies and other studies that really focus on 90-day or one-year outcomes, and so there's not a strict minimum follow-up, but in general, when looking at implant survivorship or any sort of survivorship that's unrelated to patient survivorship, a minimum potential follow-up of 2 years is a natural cutoff that I think most reviewers would look at, but there is no specific cutoff that we request or require.
Matt, could you comment about as far as disclosures or specific, you know, studies that may talk about a specific type of product, brand names, things like that, and how the you know, how that is handled, just, you know, so people on the line can get a sense on how to approach that if they happen to be working on something that might be relatively specific.
Yeah, that's a great point, Brian. So managing conflicts is essential. I think it's always good form to be generic, and when writing an abstract, you don't want to focus necessarily on company X, implant Y, but rather that we focused on metaphyseal fixation, or we focused on an acetabular component that was uncemented with a porous ingrowth surface. So I think it's important to be general, to be agnostic to a particular implant company or prosthesis, even if it's very particular to one implant, one design, one product. I think it behooves the abstract submitter to maintain a higher level of neutrality and present it in a very superficial, generic level that describes the product as opposed to specifics.
Yeah, I think that's really important. You know, we run into that every year. And, you know, really try and emphasize ahead of time to, you know, again, try and be very, very neutral and not be anything that's a brand specific, company specific with things along those lines. So I think that's, you know, that's a really good point that we need to try and make to people. And also, I think, Matt, you mentioned it, but, you know, just in the review process, even though it is blinded, it's important to know that the reviewers do have an opt-out if they have any potential conflict with, you know, with reviewing any type of material that they may be familiar with as well.
Yep, Brian. Yep, it's a dual opt-out. So it's an opt-out if you may know that that's from your particular institution or might even be your own abstract, and it's also an opt-out if you have a conflicting interest. So there is that opt-out, and we will fill that spot with another reviewer who doesn't have a conflict so that there's an equal number of reviews.
And, you know, also keep in mind, because the deadlines are with this meeting and AOS are tied so closely together, that there are different format and word count requirements between the two organizations. So there is a little bit of reorganizing of your abstract that you'll have to do to go from one meeting to the next. So don't try not to get caught into the habit of just copying and pasting it from one to the other, because they are a little bit of a different format.
Those are both great points, Matt and Brian. Obviously, I can't think of the two other folks more knowledgeable Are there any other questions that have come up in the chat room?
No, not at this time, Dr. Moskal.
Well, I'd like to especially thank Dr. Brian Springer, Dr. Matt Abdel. I can't think of any two finer faculty members to have for our inaugural seminar that the Education Committee with AUKUS will be bringing to our members every quarter. And again, a special thanks to our faculty, Dr. Spring and Dr. Abdel. And again, this webinar is recorded, and anyone can reference to it. Feel free, if you prefer, to email any one of us with any specific questions. And if there are no other questions, I'll say goodnight to everyone and see you in Dallas, November 1st through 4th for our 2018 annual meeting. Good night.
Good night. Just remember the deadline.
And we'd like to thank you for joining us tonight. This concludes this evening's webinar. Please take a moment to fill out the evaluation link that is currently now being displayed on your screen. We value your feedback, and we hope that you have a great evening. Thank you.